World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, on the road again. I just can't seem to be on the road again. That's what's going on. Sorry for the choppy looking darkness. Michelle and I are on our way to the airport to far-flung places this weekend, and so it's a little bit dark. And of course, we're probably going to break up a little bit here with the modern technology we have, this great worldwide web. Hopefully, we'll be able to hold the signal. And we're heading to Stay Awake America Tour down in, Port St. Lucie, Florida. I'm excited to be able to go down there. Man, crazy. Stuff I want to share. I'm gonna try to stay with us the whole show. Don't know if I'll be able to or not, but again, it's hard to see, so appreciate it. Last night, our prayer vigil, let me apologize. I didn't send out a link last night. I didn't tell Jared and the guys to send out a link. So some of you wanted to get in there and couldn't get in there. We had a really good prayer, but we just didn't have a lot of you really frustrated. How do I get in? So we'll make sure that doesn't happen again. We didn't have one. It's a good one. And at the end of it, That was at the beginning. I played something just really kind of set the stage. And it was Carrie Underwood. And what's his name? Vince Gill. How great thou art. Go ahead, play that. Trying to kick it off here today.
You open the floodgates. I hope I can make it through this.
Oh,
Hey, Vinny. Vinny, that's a boon, brother. That is a boon. Unbelievable.
Boom.
Isn't that something? Boy, oh boy, oh boy. And as I've often said, we're in the crucible. We really are in the crucible. And all the stuff being exposed about the Epstein list, why? Let me ask a question, folks. You know, evidently they're about to arrest. But who knows why? Is he guilty? I don't know. But you mean to tell me nobody's been arrested on an Epstein list? Nobody's been arrested in the elections, and they're going to arrest Tucker Carlson. That shows us how really, from a free speech standpoint, how there really is none. There really is no free speech. We live in a time and a place in America, the greatest freest nation in the history of the world. We're not even free anymore. We're all controlled on who we're talking about, what group we're allowed to talk about, what group we're not allowed to talk about. You get censored. You get thrown off of YouTube. You get thrown off of iTube and his tube and her tube. And censorship literally is everywhere. And it's what I say often. We're in the crucible. And the reason we're in the crucible is because, boys and girls, it's getting to be make or break time. It's getting to be make or break time. And the whole creation's groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And, man, I don't know how this thing's going to play out, but it is unbelievable. Hey, I want to play this just as a piggyback from yesterday. Number one, Spencer, number one. Folks, this is 10 minutes long. You know, yesterday we talked about the Jews and Israel and God's chosen, the 12 tribes and yada, 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 and all the stuff that we've been programmed with. I don't think that's what I want, Spence. It should say Noah's three sons. Do you have that? No. Yeah, folks, this is fascinating. The map of humanity, it's about 10 minutes long. Maybe you can play it at 1.5, but it plays into exactly what I talked about yesterday with the Melungeons, and none of us really know how deep how pure our heritage is, our line. This is the map of humanity. This is pretty fascinating. Go ahead, play that, Spence.
Every nation on Earth could trace its origins to just three men, Japheth, Ham, and Shem. In the 10th chapter of Genesis, there is a list. Is this just a myth, or is it a remarkable ancient map, preserving where our own story began? Find out. We must go back to the beginning, to the foot of Mount Ararat. After the Great Flood, history begins again with one family. From the sons of Noah, the map of humanity began to take shape. Through Japheth, the people spread north and west toward the coastlands and the distant islands. Through Ham, they moved southward toward Africa and the Arabian Peninsula, founding some of the mightiest empires the world would ever know. And through Shem, the descendants settled in the heart of the ancient Near East, the cradle of civilization, the land known as the Fertile Crescent. Japheth, whose name meant expansion. He fathered seven sons, Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tiras. Their heritage would lay the foundation for nations stretching from the Black Sea to the shores of the Mediterranean. From Gomer came three sons, Ashkenaz, Rephath, and Togarma. It was through Ashkenaz that the famed Scythians, the legendary horse masters of the steppes, first arose. Magog represents the fierce nomadic warriors of Eurasia's vast expanse. Madai settled in the highlands of Iran, becoming the ancestor of the powerful Medes. Their kingdom exerted a strong influence on the balance of power in the Near East, laying the vital groundwork for the subsequent Persian Empire. But it was Javan who looked to the sea, becoming the forefather of the Ionian Greeks. His lineage flows through four sons, Elisha, Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodonim. These sons were not merely traders. They mastered the sea and became the main carriers for laying the foundation for future Hellenic influence across the entire Mediterranean coastline. Japheth's expansion concludes here. Now we must turn our attention to the south. Ham, whose name signifies hot or burned. It was a destiny soon realized as he fathered four sons, Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. These sons were the true empire builders and city founders of the ancient world. Cush, the firstborn, brought forth a vast lineage. His six sons were Seba, Havilah, Sabta, Rama, Sabteca, and Nimrod. And from Rama came Sheba and Dedan. All of them spread across the Arabian Peninsula, names famed for their Arabian commerce and wealth. But from this powerful lineage emerged the figure of Nimrod. He was the first heroic warrior on earth, the founder of the great Mesopotamian cities of Babylon and Nineveh. Mizraim is the biblical name for Egypt. His seven descendants, the Ludim, Anamim, Lahabim, Naphtuhim, Pethrusim, Kasluhim, and Kaphtarim, settled the Nile Valley, constructing the magnificent civilization of the pyramids. Intriguingly, his line through the Kasluhim also gave rise to the Philistines, who would later settle the coastline and become the great rival of Israel. Moving further west, Put denotes the peoples of Libya and North Africa, securing Ham's dominance across the northern Saharan region. Finally, Canaan, Ham's youngest son. He begat 11 descendants. Sidon, Heth, the Jebusite, the Amorite, the Girgashite, the Hivite, the Arkite, the Sinite, the Arvadite, the Zimmerite, and the Hamathite. They would later settle the very land promised to Israel. From these sons, Sidon became the ancestor of the Phoenicians. Heth established the powerful Hittite Empire, and through the Jebusites came the key city of ancient Jerusalem. The Amorites built powerful kingdoms spanning the length of Canaan, while the Hivites and Girgashites were deeply entrenched in the central highlands and mountainous regions. The remaining sons settled the northern coast, establishing the key port cities that served as the main entrances to the sea. Ham's empire builders dominated the south. Destiny lies in the very heart of the ancient world. Shem, whose name signified name or reputation. He fathered five sons, Elam, Ashur, Arphaxad, Lud, and Aram. These five lineages settled the vital crossroads of the ancient world, the Fertile Crescent. Elam founded a powerful civilization bordering the Persian Gulf. Ashur gave rise to the ferocious Assyrian Empire, a force that terrorized the ancient world. Lud was the ancestor of the wealthy Lydian kingdom in Asia Minor, who invented the world's first coined money. Aram fathered four sons, Uz, Hul, Gether, and Mash. He brought forth the Arameans, whose language became the lingua franca for regional commerce and culture. But it is the lineage that stems from Arphaxad that the biblical record traces with the most meticulous detail. The line passes through his son Salah, leading to his grandson Eber, from whom the name Hebrews is derived. Eber then branched into two main lines, Peleg and Joktan. Joktan's lineage produced 13 sons, Omada, Shelef, Hazarmaveth, Jira, Hadaram, Uzal, Dikla, Obal, Abimael, Sheba, Ophir, Havilah, and Jobab. They founded many of the early Arabian tribes. But the other line was Peleg. This path runs through generations including Ru, Serug, Nahor, and Terah until it converges on one central figure in history, Abraham. And so Shem's descendants settled the Fertile Crescent and spread south into Arabia. Ham conquered the south in Africa. and Japheth claimed the northern seas and coastlands. The Atlas is complete. This is not merely a list of names, but a culture's attempt to understand their ancient world, a geopolitical encyclopedia for their time. All of humanity, at its root, is one family. This is not a map of division, but a map of deep, ancient, and complicated connection.
I'm going to say boom. What a great history lesson.
Absolutely is.
Thank you. I had trouble getting unmuted there. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Isn't that really, really pretty amazing? And to think that, I hate to play the same song. To think that anybody came through to where we are today by bloodline. Come on. Pure bloodline, right? And that's why, again, I don't mean to keep pounding on this, right? Jesus said, those who say they are Jews and are not. So, the purpose of what I'm trying to say, I want to open it up here in a second. We're in the middle of traffic. How could there be today any pure bloodline of anything? And that's why we have to understand that Jesus Christ said that he was the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father except through me. It's not birth lineage. It's not heritage. It's not being a Melungeon or not being a Melungeon or being British or not being British or being black or not being black or being Italian or not being Italian. That all's done away with, folks. That was all done away. And the fact that we keep those alive shows just how programmed we are and how it's coming from the Father, his father, the devil. Divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. And what we see going on today all across the world is little groups. The Muslims against the Jews and the Jews against the whatevers and the whatevers against the whatevers. Divide and conquer, the oldest trick in the book. Look what's going on in America today. Look at the divide and conquer that's going on in the United States of America. And if we can't understand this, if we can't see this from a spiritual perspective and understand that the devil is trying to foil the Lord's plan, by keeping us focused on bloodlines and heritage and land, when the New Testament is about the introduction of Jesus Christ into the world. The Old Testament is not done away with. It's fulfilled. It's fulfilled. It's about Christ. It's about Christianity. It's about the blood of the Lamb. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ, period. No longer bloodline. And I don't know why this is so hard for us to understand. 42,000 different denominations, everybody thinking they're right. We can't even get unified in America to stop abortion. We can't even protect marriage. Are you tracking with what I'm saying here? And this is all happening because somewhere along the line, somebody decided that some group of people were more important and more pure than others. And that's where we find ourselves today. And so as we saw yesterday, call me anti-Semitic. That word doesn't even mean anything. It's a language. You're Semitic by language. By language. Not birthright, not bloodline. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians, I don't have it to pull up here, that because we rejected the truth, the Lord sends a strong delusion that they will believe a lie. And they'll worship and serve the creature, come on, rather than the creator. That's the delusion, in my opinion. That's the delusion we're dealing with. One way to heaven. One way to heaven. Is it going to be a rebuilt temple? I don't know.
Look, it doesn't matter. Other than the rebuilt temple is nothing more than man again trying to find a man-made way to the Lord. That's what the whole thing is about. Jesus said, my body is the temple. When we receive Christ, we become the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know that flies against a lot of people's theology. I understand that. But holy crap, how can you watch that video on lineage, heritage, ancestry, and think there's such a thing as a pure-blooded Jew? Don't our brains work? It's not about bloodline. It's not. I'm going to shut up. I want to hear from you guys. What time is 7:23? Michelle's navigating this horrible traffic on the way to the airport. And she wants to scream, but she's not, because she has great respect for you guys. So somebody wants to come in, certainly, huh? Spence, can you bring him in or somebody bring him in?
Yeah, Adam's ready to come in.
Just get off. Come on in, Adam.
Thanks, Coach. Thanks, guys. Yeah, I agree 100% with what you're saying. I mean, the number one way that we can have control over people is if we make laws based upon their speech, telling what they can say and what they can't say. And so what better way what better tool does the devil have than to use the powers that be to tell us what we're allowed to say, what we're not allowed to say, because our words have power. The Lord says that we have power in our words. And so if we speak truth to the lies, if we bring light into darkness, then that can actually reveal the truth to people. They can accept Christ and they can get saved. But if you lie to people and tell people that this one particular group of people, it's God's chosen people, and no matter what they do to other people, especially their neighbors, then we have to support them. And so even if their neighbors are Christian, it's okay that they go and they kill their Christian neighbors, because at the end of the day, they're God's chosen people. And I know people say that's anti-Semitic, that's hateful, but no. If I have a brother or sister in the Lord, if you have a brother and sister in the Lord, and an antichrist group of people are killing them, and we don't stand up for our brothers and sisters, that is a sin, I believe. The Bible says the outside world knows who we follow by the love that we have for one another. Well, if you're not loving your brother and sister that's being killed by an antichrist group of people, then you're going to be found guilty before the Lord, I believe. That's what I believe. And so I'll just shut up now, Coach, but thanks.
No, so folks, you need to go back when the show's over. Go back and regurgitate that video I just watched. I had no, did you guys have any idea the names of those guys? Any idea? I had no idea. What was called the diaspora? Does anybody know what the diaspora was? It was the taking, the spreading of the gospel to the world. They left Israel and they went to the world, and the 12 tribes went to the world. There's proof, evidence. The Apostle Paul went to Great Britain, although of course it wasn't Great Britain at that time. And this idea that something's going to happen in Israel, maybe it is. But in the meantime, we argue over end-time prophecy while they're murdering babies, cutting off boys' dingers, lying in the government. We are under the thumb of the evil one, because why? The Lord, my opinion, has sent a strong delusion. Read it, 2 Thessalonians. The Lord sent the delusion. The Lord sent it. Why? Because we believe a lie. And we worship and serve lineage, people groups, worship and serve the creature rather than the creator. That's a boom, Vinny. That's a boom. Bring somebody in. I got about 10 minutes left.
Yeah, here. Coach, one of the things I wanted to also bring up here to support what you're saying is, you understand in the Old Testament, it says, you know, such and such begat, such and such begat, such and such begat, such and such begat, such and such. They laid it out. They laid all the bloodline all the way out. New Testament, not so much. Not so much. Mm. They didn't have to, because they were just letting you know that Christ was coming through that he was of pure blood lineage, of pure
person. Amen.
That's what the proof was. That's why they you know, you don't see that in the New Testament. Amen.
Amen. So he came out of the tribe of Judah. But folks, did you see all the different lineages that got us to where we are now, and how anybody could claim to be pure blood anything? And why did Jesus make it so nobody was pure blood, so we couldn't claim blood as our salvation?
Boom. Adam, come on in. Adam.
Thank you. I just thought of one more thing I wanted to add to the conversation. Thanks again, Coach, and everybody. You said before, Coach, you were talking before about the temple. Well, you brought up to my memory a conversation that I had with somebody not too long ago when they were talking about, oh, I can't wait for the temple to be rebuilt. And I said to them, was the sacrifice of Jesus the last and final sacrifice for the sins of mankind? And they said, yes. And I said, okay, well, because God no longer dwells in temples made by human hands, if they rebuild the temple and start sacrificing animals again, then they will be sacrificing animals in defiance of God.
Oh, man.
Because Jesus is the last and final sacrifice for the sins of mankind. And so people who support that temple could be rebuilt are supporting satanic animal sacrifices because it goes against the sacrifice of Jesus.
Oh, this is deep, isn't it? You guys getting nervous? Look, I'm not the one saying this. I'm just following it. Huh? Betty, come on in. No? Hands up, I thought. No, who Dave. Wants to come in? Who wants to come in?
Dave. Dave and Sherry.
Dave and Sherry.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Yeah, thanks, Coach.
Hey, Dave. Yeah. I'm going to have to jump off here in a few minutes. What I do, I want you to tell that story that you told me yesterday. Go ahead.
All right. Well, first, I wanted to comment about what we were talking about is the fact that in the UK they now have laws on the book, anti-Semite books. You know, they're going to arrest you, and so a bunch of people just for yucks put on shirts from the river to the sea. They wore a bunch of T-shirts out, and sure enough, they all got arrested just for that. So, folks, we have to ask ourselves, and Benjamin Netanyahu came over here and begging Trump to implement the same kind of laws here. And believe me, he's considering it. And so how much longer will it be? You can't buy or sell unless you pledge allegiance to a certain nation, right? You see where it's going? Charlie Kirk wouldn't pledge his allegiance to that nation. You see what happened to him.
Yep.
And I think that's what they'd like to do to the rest of us. So I think we need to wake up and I know it gets frustrating. We've talked about this a lot, but in my mind, it's a real a critical paradigm that we're facing right now. And I don't think the church are understanding what's going on.
Again, Dave, what's the question we ask? Who told you that? And why do you believe him? And I wonder how many of you watching this show right now, including me, ever knew what we just watched on that video. Did anybody ever know that? Where all these people came from, generations to come to a physical bloodline. What a sky. Boom. Who wants to get in here? Dave, hang on. Dave, I want you to come back and tell that story you told me.
He will. He will. We got a couple of hands up. Randy?
Yeah, Coach, I was raised in the Baptist church, and I love the Baptist people. They helped me find Jesus, Coach. But at some point, I realized that dispensationalism didn't add up. Well, I was taught, you know, the Jews over there on that geographical land, that was God's chosen people. Okay, most of us were taught that. Coach, at some point, I realized in what Paul taught, that you're not a Jew anymore by blood, you're a Jew by the Spirit. Okay, when I realized that, Coach, my allegiance turned from something to something. It turned now to Israel is the church. It ain't replacement theology, Coach.
No, it's that's a lie.
Theology, just like you've taught us. Okay, we should see that, Coach. Once we do that, our allegiance is to every nation to help them find Christ.
Amen.
And there's no reason we should hold up any bloodline over any other bloodline. We're special because they used to be Israel. See, Coach, the fact it passed through Christ, the new Israel is the church. It was through history until just 200 years ago or less. Okay, so when you find the real Israel, you're going to be like what we're saying. You're no longer going to prop up a ethnic people for no reason, because there's no only one covenant. So it's pretty simple, Coach. We have to come out of our old teaching and come into what's true. I had to, you did, Coach, and everyone else is going to have to. I'm sorry, but that's the only front door into the kingdom. It's through Christ. There's no
Brandy,
other way.
I'm a child of the King by the blood of Jesus. I'm a folks.
You know,
did you hear me, folks?
Coach, she said, "I came out, Coach." Why can't I? Everyone just say, "I want out. I come out. I was wrong. I was wrong. I'm sorry, Lord. I repent. I come out." It's that simple, Coach.
It is. But see, we have a tendency, again, to trust our teachers throughout our lives, right? Trust our teachers. Our pastors, they're telling us, well, the pastors are just as hoodwinked as we are, friends. They're just as hoodwinked. Somebody come on in. Thanks, Rand. I got about 5 minutes here. Who else?
Craig's ready.
Go ahead, Craig.
Yeah, Coach, I did this. I studied this. Six, seven years ago. Okay. Because if you don't understand this, you're not going to understand who nations are.
Go.
And if you go over here and you look at, okay, who's the eldest out of the three? Well, Japheth's the eldest, yet Christ was born through Shem. That's why the Bible says the older shall serve the younger. And I put in the chat, I said, there's three strands of DNA, B, A, and Z. Well, there's three sons, right? So, and you count all these sons up, and there's 70 nations, all right? But when you start to read, you know, Joshua, it says they conquered seven nations. And then you start looking at the nations, and you go, well, gee, who are the nations? Oh, that's the Amorites, the Gigizzites, the Hivites, the Arkites. Oh, this is all from Ham. Well, everybody that they had to, like, kill all the sons, women, and daughters, they didn't kill all of them, but they only killed certain ones. They're all from Ham. Well, why did Ham uncover his dad's nakedness? Or did he walk in and see his dad naked? Oh, nakedness means sleeping with your mother or your sister. Wonder why that is. Why was Canaan cursed, right? Ham's the one that messed with his dad naked. No, Canaan was the offspring. So if you don't do all this deep study, okay, you're not going to understand it. And then when you go and you say, wow, that's 70 nations. Why was the mother, right, Isaac, why was she distressed? And these two kids were fighting in her stomach. And you know what was said? You have two nations inside you. Well, how can she have two nations if Esau's a nation and Jacob's a nation? Why is Esau hated and Jacob loved? But they're both nations. Well, where did these people develop? These are deep, profound questions, and you're not going to get them in sound bites.
And Craig, we've been programmed. All of us have been programmed. It's called tradition. Remember Fiddler on the Roof? Tradition. Well, we're in the crucible, and whether we like it or not, pick any one of them, honey. We're going to have to deal with this Israel issue. And you can't call me anti-Semitic because Semitic's a language, right? We learned that yesterday. Yeah. Semitic's a language. But the Israel issue, folks, isn't going away. It's going to be at the heart of what's going on.
Well, let me read Deuteronomy 32, Coach. This is profound, okay? Because this goes even deeper into what most of the people are bringing up here. It says, okay, this is Deuteronomy 32:7, New King James. It says, remember the days of old. I think that would probably be Genesis 10. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father and he will show you, your elders, and they will tell you. When the Most High divided their inheritance to the nations, when he separated the sons of Adam, that means mankind, Adam is man, he set boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the children of Israel. The problem is in the New King James, it says in Israel, some of it says sons of God type. So what that's saying there is that's when those 70 offspring, those 70 nations, that's what he's talking about. But Israel wasn't even born yet. Abraham wasn't even in that group. It says, for the Lord's portion is his people. So the Lord has a people. Jacob is the place of his inheritance. Oh, we got a problem here because Jacob's name got changed to Israel. But the Lord's talking about his inheritance, and he's attaching it to that name. He found him in a desert land and in a wasteland and a howling wilderness. He encircled him. He instructed him. I'm not going to read the whole thing. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Go read this and then ask yourself, God has a nation? He has an inheritance? And he's attached it to that guy named Jacob? And there were two nations that were inside their mother. One of them was Jacob and one of them was Esau.
Boom. Thank you, Craig. I think somebody else had a hand up there a second ago. Coach, you're muted. I don't know if you know that.
There, I'm on mute. Get off. We got to find Michelle's getting nervous because we can't find a place to park. Additional parking. Go up. We love each other. We're just yin and yang. You know that. Hey, yeah, okay.
Let me get married.
Hang on. Hang on. I'm going to save my marriage, okay? I'm going to dump all fear. God bless each other. Don't fight. See ya.
All right. Miss Helen.
Okay. Chad, you have good manners. I just want to pray right now. My son-in-law was asked not to come to work this morning because there was a very bad accident in front of the place where he works, and he's worried that it's Tommy Novosconi who has ravaging disease. And so, Lord, I pray right now your mercy on the situation and on the people involved, and ask that the people of this queue would pray for Tom Novosconi and whoever else might have been involved. I don't know that it was him, but Lord, just have mercy on them, please, in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah, he's risen. I'm in agreement on that. What other, okay, Spence, can you pull up, what's the next show note that you had for today, please? All right, let's play that. Let's see what we've got.
The two biggest tells from the retards on the left is Kennedy Jr. Their two biggest tells is Kennedy Jr. and Elon Musk. That's how I know you guys are lying and you have Trump derangement syndrome and we never have to fucking listen to you ever again. Because, A, both guys, formerly darlings of the left and the Democrats. One's a Kennedy, by the way, who made his bones suing Monsanto and all these other big chemical companies and defense contractors and Union Carbide for polluting the environment. So this guy, I mean, you want to talk about a guy who was built in a Democratic Papa Boner lab. You have a guy with the last name Kennedy. So he already comes from royalty. And he makes his life work suing huge corporations that pollute the environment. Okay. So you love this guy.
Yeah.
The other guy invents an electric car, which you love. Mm-hmm. So you love Kennedy and you love Elon Musk. And nothing bad was ever said about any of these guys. One guy was a genius who was going to save the planet through building electric cars and electric semi-trucks and everything else. And then the other guy was going to save the planet by repairing the planet because the rivers had gone bad and he's going to sue the company and then he was going to rehabilitate the river. These are your two biggest icons amongst the left. Then Trump gets elected. And they go about to do more good work. Doge, save the taxpayer money, grift and fraud. This guy's going to get red dye number 17 out of Razzles and look into childhood, look into what's causing everyone to be on this, every kid to be on the spectrum of autism and all this kind of stuff. But because he was selected by Trump, you then have to attack both of them. Mm-hmm. And then both of them, one goes from the smartest guy in the world to a dope who's trying to take food out of children's mouths or something. I don't really even know what you got to with Elon, but yeah, that one seems nuts. So you're going to go burn some Tesla dealerships. And then the other one is a madman who wants everyone to die of whooping cough because they didn't get vaccinated. Both huge lies, and you've shown your cards, because any sensible, normal human being that did not have Trump derangement syndrome would go, I hate Donald Trump, and I'm disappointed that my hero, Kennedy Jr., went, and Elon Musk, another hero who've done a lot of good for our society, went to work for Trump, even though I understand their cause is noble. They would like kids to eat healthier meals, and they would like to colonize Mars and save money for the taxpayer via Doge. That's what a normal person would do, but they have to pillory both of them, which means they're fucking liars.
All right, good enough. Well, the key thing is here, in my opinion, all right, on this, folks. Hello, I'm Chad, filling in for Coach for the rest of the show, by the way. But the thing is, I'm asking you, does Trump this Trump derangement syndrome, does it go both ends of the spectrum? Can people look at Trump and say, there is no way that he's doing it right? I'm with him. I'm MAGA. That's it. That's, you know, whatever he says, let's go. Because are we, if it was a different president in there, would we be agreeing with their policies? This is how we know if we're a homer or not. Now, a homer, if you don't know what a homer is, it's somebody that always picks a home team. All right. So you remember when the Patriots were winning all those Super Bowls, everybody seemed like they were a Patriots fan. We want to be with a winner. And so when we look at Trump, just ask yourself, are we evaluating him the same way we would evaluate a Joe Biden or a Barack Obama or a George Bush? Are we really looking at this on this way? Anyway, and hear what you thought. Adam, you had something you want to get in there on.
Thank you. Yeah, I've been asking myself the same question, because all these people that right now that are like saying that MAGA is over, MAGA is divided. No, MAGA is not over or divided. Some people just disagree with Trump's decision to go to war with Iran. I'm one of them. But I still support him as the president. I mean, after all, Where would we be right now if we ended up with Kamala Harris or Joe Biden? We might not even have a country at this point. So, you know, I'm thankful that you're asking that question.
Well, one of the things, I think it's even worse than that, Adam, where would we be if Hillary Clinton got in? You know, I think the whole stuff in COVID in 2020, when all that kicked off, would be far differently now. Our nation would be far differently now had we had her in there as president. What say you? Because this is really, you know, is Trump in here? Is he a foot in the door before the door slams? But I'm going to tell you this, it doesn't matter who gets in office. It doesn't matter. Okay. We've had Republican Congress. We've had Republican Senate. We've had a Republican in the Supreme Court. We've had the presidency. We've had all of that at the same time. And look, no changes. No severe changes. I mean, where are we at with Doge? We heard all the reports. People 350 years old receiving a monthly check from the government, and the nation's not even 350 years old. It's not, as you know. So the question is, what's being done about it? Are these things being brought up to us, friends, just to irritate us, just to make us talk amongst each other? Are they true distractions? The question I ask, I know that you're asking it. I know that you're asking this. What is they doing about it? What are they doing about it? I mean, sound better. And the key thing is, are these things being brought up for distractions? And if they are, what are they distracting us from? And if the body of Christ, friends, you and me, the body of Christ, we argue about all this stuff sideways and stuff, and then we're too busy and we're not focusing on, look, we're allowing things to come in and divide us. It says, united we stand, divided we fall. Are we united or are we divided? And so if, in fact, we're divided, well, then that first saying will come into play, wouldn't it? The first saying will come into play saying, hey, that it's only a matter of time till we fall. If we can't get united and say and get our pride out of the way, if we just drop pride, how much different would everything be? Because I know when I go to the barbershop, I got black guys in there with me. I got Hispanic guys in there with me. And we ain't in there arguing and giving racial slurs. We're in there cutting up, having a good time. Because we don't have anything antagonizing us to argue and to fight and bring in all the differences. It's not about race, friends. It's not about politics. It's about our culture. As Michael Savage would say so many times, borders, language, and culture. And if we're accommodating every other nation, every other person that comes in here, rather than the people who are trying to do the things, be good citizens, lead a good life, so to speak, have 2.3 children, you know, have a white picket fence out front. We're clocking in and out every day. We're trying to make ends meet. But the powers that be, you know, it's like I remember when I was working for the government, they would give you a 3% raise every couple of years or whatever, a cost of living raise. But then the insurance company would come in there and raise your rates 2.8%. So all it did was it put me in a higher tax bracket, and then it took more money from me. I wasn't any better off than I was before you gave me the raise. And see, you understand, the whole thing's a racket. I know you see this. I know you see this. Spence, what's the next one? Oh, hold on. David, Spence, you got something else? Did the coach have another one in there? Okay. Put that American thinker on there. Let's see what we got. I would like to some of these people that have these podcasts, you know, Adam, I'm just coming off the top of my head here, but they need your financial stuff here too. Even if you send $15, $10, man, it tell you what, it stacks up. And I would ask you to donate. I know it's tight. I know your money's tight. But the Lord says he loves a cheerful giver. And I'm telling you, he'll bless you if you have your mind right. If you give without any expectations. These people, they need it to run their show. Craig, with the Saving God's Children, send them a little bit of money. Is this an article or is this a video? This American thinker? Okay. I want to talk to you. Okay, so we're talking about Iran here. I want to tell you, friends, it's my position that we're going to get whipped over here. This is going to be this is going to start us on the slippery slope of going down. I don't know how many of you drive a diesel truck, but I do. And 2 days ago, it jumped 40 cents here in the cheapest gas in the nation, 40 cents. So it's up to $4.89 a gallon. Now, if I'm driving in a trucking company, how am I possibly going to be able to keep up with these rates? Because you look at all of these trucks that are out there on the road, these companies obviously have to buy fuel to get the goods to us, and even Amazon. And something's going to have to get, it's going to get passed down to us. So slowly, so none of you got a 3% raise last year. And if you did, like if you're like me, then the insurance gave you a 2.8% raise in cost. All right. And so now if my food costs more, my electricity costs more, then what? It's going. These people, some people here in this queue are probably living on $800, $900, $1,000, and trying to make it. It's going to be so tight for them. Let's see who's somebody trying to come in here. Go ahead, Eileen. Go ahead, Eileen. Thank you.
Good morning, Chad. Coach wanted Dave Allison to share his story.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you. I was going to come to that.
Thank you.
Let's see. Thank you for reminding me. Appreciate that. Okay. One other thing. Let's see. Let me look in the chat here. What else did you have, Coach, have lined up for you? I'm trying to honor Coach. I didn't know he was going to ask somebody to do this today. Yeah, so Randy, what happens if the fuel price that it is now goes up $2 more a gallon for anybody? How is that going to affect you in your daily life? And they said, I want you to know that you can trust the government. They said it's only going to be for a short time. And don't, I want you to not reflect back on COVID. This is 2 weeks to stop the curve. And really, they meant 2 years. We had 2 years of that. Dave, when you get a chance, if you'll raise your hand, come on in there. I'll let me know that you're ready. I'd love to hear your testimony. All right. Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Okay, real quick. I'm glad Eileen is on here because she witnessed this herself yesterday. So, Chad, I got to ask you a question. I'm going to let you play coach. If we're considering a football game, if that's a battle, let's turn that around and look at that as a battle. Coach, how many battles are we going to win if the team refuses to take the field?
None.
How many? None. Okay. Well, so what happened is this all started a few weeks ago, about a month ago. An elected official happened to trip into a clinic at a school, and she found all this literature and this debauchery that was being promoted. And she didn't wait. She didn't, you know, back in the day when you would bring something, you would all gather together as a political group. And if something negative was going to happen, before you exposed it to the public, you'd make sure you put a positive spin on it and make sure nobody got hurt, right? But she decides, forget that. I'm just going to bring all this stuff and make a presentation in public and pull her pants down right in front of everybody. Well, they almost went crazy. And here's the good thing. So I have gone, and I know Eileen has supported and many other people in the community have supported this person to expose what was going on in the clinics. So, again, I went yesterday to the health department advisory board meeting, confronted them again about the fact that they were promoting abortion in this, and they were doing it subversively, right? There's laws that says they can't do this, but rather if they don't tell you how to get an abortion, but if they hand you a piece of literature to tell you how to get an abortion, that's subverting the law. And so anyways, they were called out on it, and I went and spoke yesterday in defense of the unborn and how that is debauchery, and we've got to stop that. But here's the good news, and Eileen can testify to this. Because of that exposure and because of the pushback, the clinics has now removed all of that literature and the websites that are promoting abortion in our school clinics. So my point being is, we can't win any games if we don't take the field. And I'm here to testify that standing up, taking a stand in your community, we can make a difference. And I wouldn't have done that. I would not have been there yesterday if it wasn't for all the encouragement that I received through Past Assault. And so I was proud and honored. And I still consider myself a piker amongst this group. But I was proud and honored to go there yesterday and make a stand and knowing that I was representing the kingdom of God and also all the good folks here on Past Assault. And so good things are happening. And so I was really thrilled yesterday that how little that was, it was a victory for the kingdom of God.
Well, amen, David. And thank you for sharing. I appreciate your continued growth. You know, this is the key thing. If we become satisfied, friends, that we think we're good at level 5, the Lord may have you at level 19. He may say, man, I planned on you being at 19. You were going to do some wonderful things along the way, but you got content. You got satisfied. You know, in the military, we talk about complacency kills, and it certainly does, and especially in the kingdom of Christ, where if we get complacent in here, we may not be the one getting killed, but we may not prevent others being killed some way. Mr. Burns, come on in.
Hey, thank you. He was talking about the fuel prices and the 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Well, a couple weeks ago, I kept hearing in the media short-term pain for long-term gain. And that's all I could hear. When I heard that, I kept hearing 2 weeks to flatten the curve. 2 weeks, it's sickening. Thank you very much.
Well, it's the same rhetoric, and we need to understand that we're falling for it again, because we say we don't we don't trust the government. We say we don't, unless they say something, and then we do. See, we're how easy we're manipulated. We're being manipulated. And you see this every time. One thing's here. I was reading a story here on Hal Turner. Take him or leave him, however you want to. It's just information. It's only information. It doesn't mean it's right. It's just information. And if we'll process it like this, just saying, hey, this is what I heard. Okay. We do that every day. It doesn't mean it's right. You say, oh, this is what I heard. And then you just evaluate it. You don't have to attach yourself to it. But the USA informed Iran that they consider their military objectives achieved and are preparing to exit the conflict soon. Oh, so you hit a guy in the face a few times, and then you say, hey, I don't want to fight anymore. And he's like, wait a minute. I'm getting up off the ground. No, we ain't done. We ain't done. You're going to get what you coming to you. You hit me. You hit me a few times, and now you're tired? No. Now is when we're going to get on it. So noting that Israel still has some operational tasks to complete before its withdrawal from the war. However, Iran completely rejected this message, stating that it is not interested in its content and will continue the war until it achieves its own long-term goals aimed at preventing the recurrence of such conflicts. It is emphasized that even in the event of the USA and Israel's withdrawal, Iran will continue its actions until its goals are fully achieved. Any departure of Washington and Tel Aviv does not impose any obligations on Tehran. So what does this tell you? What does this tell you? We may have bit off more than we can chew. And it could very well be the end of all things that we have now. So friends, here's what I'm telling you in the last few seconds of this show today. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being a loyal audience. And we're grateful. I know that there's a lot of intelligent people that are on this. You do a lot of research. But I want to tell you that you got to get ready for what's coming. Get prepared. Get your spirit prepared. Get on your face. Get in the grocery store. Get in the supply stores. Get air and get auto parts. Get your stuff ready for what's coming. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you.